sometimes controversial, always politically incorrect, and pro-life without exception, without compromise, and without apology. It's the Pro-Life America Podcast with your hosts, Sarah Waits, and the president of Life Dynamics, Mark Crutcher.
Hey, gang. Welcome back to the Pro-Life America Podcast. I am Mark Crutcher, as you heard, and I'm joined by my worthy co-host.
Hello, everyone.
Sarah Waits. She's lurking on the other side of the table.
Apparently, it's what I do best.
Yeah. You know, there's not a lot going on in the pro-life movement right now that's not associated with this Texas situation. But there are a couple of things that we need to talk about here. First off, according to Planned Parenthood's 2019-2020 annual report.
Mm-hmm. Which, if you haven't gone and read it, you would think would be a boring read. It's not.
Yeah. They have in excess of $2 billion, not million, billion dollars in cash and assets.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they control. That's what they have.
Yep.
On top of that, the federal government ruled when this federal government's programs to support people during the COVID crisis came out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
They ruled that Planned Parenthood didn't qualify
mm-hmm.
for money under those programs.
Well, and considering that Planned Parenthood was able to spend at least $45 million to support Biden and other Democrats in the 2020 elections during the time of the pandemic.
Yeah.
If they can spend that kind of money, then obviously they're not hurting.
They don't need my money. They don't need taxpayer money. And yet, despite the fact that they have over $2 billion in cash and assets, and despite the fact that the federal government ruled that they were not eligible to receive money under these COVID programs,
mm-hmm.
the Biden administration this year has given them $23 million so far.
To only 10 Planned Parenthood affiliates.
Right.
That $23 million went to 10 Planned Parenthoods.
Plus, they've set aside another $100 million in small business loans to mm-hmm. Planned Parenthood. And by the way, those are gifts because those loans are forgivable.
Yeah. Well, in 2020, they gave $80 million in those PPP funds to 37 Planned Parenthood affiliates.
Right. And they say they're going to get that money back, but the Small Business Administration will not comment
on whether or not it's been returned.
And
yeah.
So that means it hasn't been.
Yeah.
If it had been, they'd be the first one saying, oh, we got all that money back. Don't worry mm-hmm. about it. These people always talk about how they obey the laws and they go along with science. And I'm talking about the Biden administration. These are the biggest pathological liars on the planet. And here they are, their own federales, so to speak, said they're not eligible for the funds. And they've got $2 billion in cash and assets in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
But despite that, we're going to give them hundreds of millions of dollars. It's unbelievable. And what I want to know is, where are all the Republicans that should be out there raising a ruckus about this? Rand Paul is the only one I've seen who's even commented on it.
Well, supposedly, the Republican members of the Senate Committee on Small Business and Entrepreneurship announced that they will refuse to vote on the SBA, the Small Business Administration's nominee for deputy administrator, until the agency takes action to ensure Planned Parenthood returns the tens of millions in funds. But
will that happen?
I don't know.
And how will we ever know if it did or didn't?
Yeah. I mean, it seems to me, if you're outraged, that that's really not all the action you're going to take.
And the Republicans will compromise on this. You wait and see. They'll come back and say, well, okay, we'll give that up. We'll back off on that if you'll do this over here.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll have their own little pet project they want to get funded. So ultimately, probably that money's never coming back.
That
should have never been given to
Absolutely
begin with.
Absolutely not.
It was clearly illegal to give it to them, and they admitted that it was illegal, and then they did it anyway.
Well, this is the Small Business Administration who is giving out these funds. Small
right.
business. What about Planned Parenthood seems small business to you?
Yeah, organization's got two, not million, billion.
Mm-hmm.
That's $2,000 million in asset.
They got affiliates all over the country. Look at their mega center down in Houston.
Right.
Does that look like a small business to you?
And I'm sure that the thing you brought up a minute ago, just pure coincidence that this same organization that's pleading poverty and has to get all these federal dollars
mm-hmm.
gave $45 million to Biden and other Democrats in the 2020 campaign. I'm sure that's just a coincidence.
Yeah.
We need to not hold their feet to the fire on that.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll wait and see. You know, I don't want to castigate the Republicans too much because the thing is not over yet. But if history is any example, they'll take a powder on this. And like I said, Rand Paul's the only one I've heard that's even bringing it up.
And the thing about these PPP deals in any of these funds, the government doesn't have its own money. It comes from all of us, right. You, me, everybody.
The government has no money.
At the time when so many people were losing their jobs or had no jobs because of cutbacks and job losses and the economy, and yet 10 Planned Parenthoods in 2021 were given $23 million.
Right. That's an average of $2.3 million per Planned Parenthood.
Exactly. Under this program that was supposed to be helping small businesses stay afloat.
To survive.
To survive. Apparently, $2 million to a Planned Parenthood each counts for this.
I guess. It's unbelievable. Here's something else that's in the news right now that we need to bring up. A new report by the European Institute of Bioethics, as if bioethics is something that actually still exists in the world. A new report shows that 10% of newborn babies who die in Belgium die from being euthanized.
And these are infants up to a year old.
That's what they're classifying as a newborn. 10% of the ones who die were killed intentionally.
Because they were determined to have no hope of a bearable future. Now, even the report says that doesn't mean that necessarily they're terminal. It just means
they don't have the life we think they should be living.
Exactly.
Now, when we've brought up things like this before on the podcast and then all the years we did Life Talk, you'd have people say, well, those are foreign countries and we would never do things like that. America's would never get into things like that. And I always pointed out, they're just further down the trail. They legalized abortion before we did, so they're further down the trail than we are. And there's never been a thing that they did that we didn't eventually do.
Well, what's that verse in the Bible? Nothing new under the sun.
Right.
Human behavior in another country is still human behavior. We're all human beings.
Right. And I remember early on in the battle over abortion, when the common thought in America was that these abortions were only being done in the very earliest stages of pregnancy for only the very most horrific reasons, you know.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you started having these reports coming out of European countries that had legalized abortion years earlier, where they're doing later and later abortions for no reason whatsoever, just because the woman doesn't want to be pregnant. And you'd have all these people in America say, oh, we'll never do that. Well, we're way past that now.
Yeah.
We whistled past that standard. And what you need to understand, and this is a theme that we've talked about several times here on the Pro-Life America podcast, legalizing abortion sets a pattern of behavior in motion that's natural and inevitable.
It sets the tone that life is disposable, especially if it doesn't meet certain conditions.
You'll always push the envelope. Let's say the pro-aborts in the early days, the people who call themselves pro-choice, maybe their real original intention was that, oh yeah, it'll only be done in the earliest stages of pregnancy and only for the most hard case scenarios. The woman was raped by an uncle or, you know, she has a baby with nine heads or something. I don't think this is true, but let's just give them credit.
You know, it's hard to swallow that kind of rationale, but you know there had to be some people out there who was literally, that was their thinking.
That was their thinking.
Yeah.
Well, as time went on, they pushed the envelope, which is human nature. You push the envelope just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Give them an inch, they'll take a mile. And so that's what we're seeing now. And we're seeing that any reason that can justify abortion can be used to justify killing someone else.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
A baby up to a year old, which Peter Singer and other so-called bioethicists.
Some are even saying 5 years old.
Yeah, should be able to kill their baby up
to
then.
Why wait until one? Why not five?
And Singer said even if the parents just don't bond with the baby, which could be their fault, not the baby's fault, so why don't you kill them? But nonetheless, any of these reasons that you can use to justify abortion, you can apply those to someone else and to elderly.
Yeah.
People.
Terminally ill.
People who just have a some sort of disability, Down syndrome. And we're seeing that. Countries are bragging about the fact that they've wiped out Down syndrome. Well, they've wiped it out because they killed everybody with head Down syndrome.
Yeah, they didn't come up with any sort of medical innovation that helped prevent Down syndrome. No, they just killed people and said, look at us, and expected the world to applaud.
The fact is, though, you say not they didn't come up with any way to cure Down syndrome. I'm going to bet you that research to prevent Down syndrome has stopped.
Oh, yeah, or at least severely decreased.
Because people are saying, well, why research how we can fix this?
Yeah.
We can just kill these kids that have it, and that'll take care of the problem.
And that's the thing about abortion. When abortion is used to solve any sort of problem in medicine, what incentive is there to do research?
Right.
When your solution is just, we'll just kill this population over here who has this illness or disease, What incentive is there to do any changes to make anything better?
Right, none.
We can't call this innovation. We can't call it healthcare.
We just kill them. Just get rid of them.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that in a lot of different areas. And so how far are we from the time when we say, well, here's a group of people that are chronically poor, disadvantaged, they're homeless, they're living on the streets, they have no job skills, they're maybe ravaged by drugs, they've got all these problems, let's just kill them. If we're going to use this argument to kill the unborn, and you know, you'll
market it as compassion too.
Market it as compassion. So this is compassionate. We'll kill these people
for their own good.
We're going to kill them for their own good.
Yeah.
We're going to put them out of our misery is what basically what they're saying. And now you have this march, a pro-abortion march where they're all over the country. And basically they're protesting the thing here in Texas. But you had all these pro-aborts get together and march around the country. Had one of them here in Dallas. Mm-hmm. And one of the common themes and a sign that you'd see if you looked at the posters people were carrying, the new theme is anytime, any reason.
Which if you look at pro-choicers' support of abortion, not even the pro-choice side is overwhelmingly for any time, for any reason.
But that's what the chant is now.
Yeah.
Of the radical pro-choice crowd. Whereas before, for example, they would say, oh, we're not for women having multiple abortions. A woman shouldn't be having four or five abortions. This is for unique situations, hard cases, and so forth. Well, if any time and any reason is your theme, and let me ask you another question about this particular issue. If there's nothing wrong with one abortion, there's nothing wrong with 10.
Yeah.
The question is, why would we say that abortion is a constitutional right that protects the health and safety interest of women, but then women should use it very sparingly? What other constitutional right do we say that about?
Well, I think that's the flaw in the argument that the pro-choice movement has known that they've been using for years. Because when they try to market it as something that's supposed to be rare, and you ask the question of, well, if there's nothing wrong with it, and if it's empowering, why would it be rare? They can't give you a good answer for that.
Right.
So now
why should it be rare?
Their only response is to just embrace it with both arms and saying anytime, any reason, as often as you want.
That's the new theme for the pro-choice crowd.
Because otherwise, then you start to have to question the morality and the constitutionality of abortion.
Right. Over the years, I've brought this particular subject up, and I'll just ask you. Assuming for a moment that there's nothing wrong with abortion, you're not taking the life of a baby.
Okay, we'll assume that in La La Land.
Assume that for a minute. Yeah, if you live in La La Land and this is what you believe.
Okay.
Is there a problem with women getting pregnant on purpose and then having an abortion?
If it's not the murder of a child, what's the problem?
You say, now, why would a woman want to get pregnant on purpose?
Have you never, ever seen any of those daytime shows like Jerry Springer or The Maury Show?
Yeah, right. We had a situation a few years ago in the Olympics.
Yeah.
There was a process called blood doping.
Mm-hmm. Which we talked about on a previous episode, but in a quick recap.
Okay, you take blood out of somebody's body, then you let that body replenish that blood, which it will do naturally. Then you put that blood back in.
Mm-hmm.
Now that body has a higher percentage of blood than it normally has, which means it has more oxygen and athletic performance increases.
Yeah, because doesn't it get more oxygen to your muscles and blood concentration, which allows you to perform
And so
better.
The International Olympic Committee found out that people were doing this called blood doping. So they outlawed blood doping.
Yeah.
But then it was discovered that when women are pregnant, they have a higher percentage of blood in their body than they normally have. In the early stages of pregnancy, their athletic performance actually increases. All of a sudden, you had stories coming out about female athletes that were going into the Olympics getting pregnant on purpose to increase their athletic performance and then have abortions afterward when it's over. The Russians got caught red-handed doing this and basically said they weren't going to stop doing it. And really, there's no way to prevent it. How are you going to tell a woman she can't get pregnant?
Tell pregnant women they can't compete in the Olympics, which is discrimination.
Now you've got major problems. Yeah. So, yeah, there are situations, and you're talking about some of these Maury Povich and all these. Don't use those as an example, but there have been shows and studies about women who get pregnant on purpose in order to trap some guy into marrying them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it doesn't work, they go out and have an abortion. So women can get pregnant on purpose in order to have abortions.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with that?
Well, again, if we're still in La La Land and abortion doesn't kill a child and all this, then there's nothing wrong with
that. There's nothing wrong with that.
Other than the shady nature of what you're doing.
All right, let's ratchet it up to another level.
Mm-hmm.
And we did have some real-world cases of this. Let's say that a husband and wife have a child, or just a woman has a child, that has a heart defect of some sort. And it can be cured with a heart transplant. Can she get pregnant on purpose to have a baby, then carry it till, say, 8 or 9 months and abort that baby and take that heart and put it in the baby that she already has. Now, if you're going to say that abortion is not wrong and it doesn't take the life of a living human being, which is the only reason that you can justify it, is to say that it doesn't take the life of a human being.
Yeah.
Then what's wrong with that?
Nothing. If that was the case.
Absolutely. Or let's just say that it didn't need a heart transplant, but it just needed some other body part that you could get out of an unborn child at the later stages of pregnancy. And we already know that they're doing late-term abortions to get parts that they're selling.
For medical research,
yeah. So why couldn't a woman do this?
Yeah. Where do you draw the line?
We were the first group that uncovered the selling of baby body parts. And one of the arguments that I used to make was, and I still do make, if it's not wrong to chop up one of these babies after you've aborted it and sell the parts, then what would be wrong with a woman saying, you know what, I'm poor, but I can have babies. I'll have babies that I give permission and maybe get paid for, the baby being chopped up and sold for parts. What's wrong with that if it's not a living human being, which I don't know what else it could be, but I guess it could be a parrot or a spider or something. But
they have all these definitions of what constitutes a human being. Argue the difference between a born human being and an unborn child, as if they're somehow different in some other way other than location.
Right.
And suddenly there's something magical that happens to them as they're exiting the woman.
That's the magic vagina theory.
Yeah.
That it enters one end of the birth canal as one thing and comes out the other end.
And all of a sudden it's changed anew.
It's strange.
Yeah.
But if there's nothing wrong with abortion, if you're going to be pro-choice and you're going to take that position, then you've got to take all this stuff. Because when you legalize abortion, you have to be willing to take everything that comes along with that.
Yep. You have to take the gender side that is happening, where girls are being aborted because they're the wrong gender.
Right.
You're taking eugenics and all of its forms. You're taking all this junk.
You have to be willing to accept it all. So I don't want to hear these kind of holier-than-thou pro-choice people who say, oh, well, I'm pro-choice. And they try to get on their little soapbox, I'm pro-choice, but I'm not the kind of person who would approve of this. If you're pro-choice on abortion, you approve of everything here. Don't tell me you don't. You're a liar. You cannot give me a rational argument for why you would be opposed to a woman getting pregnant on purpose
to have repeat abortions.
Or repeat abortions or sex selection or
the marketing of baby parts.
Right. Don't tell me you object to any of this stuff.
Yeah.
You say those things because from a PR standpoint, the public needs to hear you say. And it salves your conscience to make you think you're not this savage that approves of abortion any time and any reason.
Well, there's a number of people in my generation who are calling out people who are using foster care and adoption as justifications for abortion. Like, abortion is such a compassionate choice compared to foster care and adoption. And all these kids who grew up in foster care are like, look, my childhood was hard, yes, but I would rather be alive.
To market abortion as compassion is...
it's downright cruel.
Right, it is. But again, let's go back to the point that you just made. Abortion is eugenics.
Yeah.
It's a function of eugenics. It's nothing more noble than that. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it's always been.
Well, and even if you tried to separate it, the reality is that as long as abortion is legal, it will be used for eugenics.
That's what
just
it
plain
is.
And simple.
There's no way around it.
Yeah.
But this situation where this reporting on Belgium, 10% of newborn deaths are euthanasia. Let's just say for a moment that there are some compassionate, pro-choice people out there. I've never met one, but let's just say there are people like that out there. This ought to be a red flag to you.
Yeah. Well, and going back to this deal, it mentions in this article that we referenced to that in the Netherlands, euthanizing those who cannot give consent is technically illegal, but the authorities have been turning a blind eye. And they've been doing research on this, and comparing two studies in 1999 and 2000 indicates that the practice has increased from 7% to 10%. So this is going to continue to become more prevalent the longer you allow it to go on.
Right. And it'll continue to grow. This will continue to be a problem. The only way to stop this is to stop abortion.
Yep.
Once you cross that Rubicon, you accept all this other stuff. You give your tacit approval to every bit of this, and don't tell me you don't, because you do.
We have a good episode that people need to check out. It's episode 43, and it's called Courts Ordering Euthanasia.
Right.
So we recommend people go check it out. I'll put the link for that in the description.
Yep.
And if you like the episode, make sure you leave a review. We'll have a link to that in the description. And make sure you follow the podcast on your favorite podcast platform. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and the list goes on.
And then on and,
and
on.
On and on and on
and on and on and on, on, and on. Yeah. Anyway, if you have an idea for a show,
mm-hmm.
if you have a question that you'd like to ask, if you want to take issue with something we've said, don't hesitate to contact us. We may have you on the show, or at least a lot of these shows that we've done have been as a result of something somebody wrote in.
Yep. So, it's lifedynamics.com/podcast. There's a form on that page that you can use to submit your show idea, comment, question, concern, or insult.
Insult. Anyway, that's it for this Thursday. We will see you next week. Until then, remember, Life Dynamics is not here to put up a good fight.
Mm-mm, we're here to win.
Because winning is how the killing stops. We'll see you next Thursday.
Bye, guys.